T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Start with a huge apology. I hate when I mislead the audience. Do you remember Friday when I told you that the reshuffling of Parag Marate was no big deal? I was totally wrong. 1-0 since Parag's been reshuffled. It's the biggest move of the 49ers season. This team is clearly going to win out. The front office is genius. It's like watching Picasso work. It doesn't all make sense until it comes into focus. The 49ers are back to being the best-run franchise in all the NFL, and all it took was one pass to Torrey Smith. Wow. Super Bowl bound. All right, maybe it's a little bit of an exaggeration. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. Hey, the 49ers got a win in Chicago. It was a surprise. It really was. That was like watching two old men have a poop sock fight. It was an ugly game. It was not fun to watch until a lot happened at the very end of the game. A lot was happening for the Raiders at the beginning of that game. They were getting to Alex Smith. They were turning the ball over, getting the turnovers, not giving the turnovers away. And when the second half started, that's when that began. A disappointing loss for the Oakland Raiders. That's a Kansas City team that asked to be beaten in certain moments of that game. And I really felt that just a play or two goes a different way, the outcome could have been a lot different. Growing pains? Yeah. You felt them this weekend, Raiders fans. It's part of the process. We're going to talk to your head coach, Jack Del Rio, coming up at 3:30. We've got Mike Sando on from ESPN today, talking more NFL with him. A Del replay for anyone who misses coach coming up at 6 o'clock. Sean Devaney on the NBA at 6:30. And obviously, we're going to talk to him about the Deuce Warriors. 22-0 at the Pacers tomorrow night. And I do, for the first time, I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of people have been looking for the moment to predict the loss. I think it comes tomorrow night. I think tomorrow might be the night. I'm just going to tell you right now, I never spent a minute of my life rooting for the Indiana Pacers. This is absolutely nothing to me to do with me going to school at IU. Nothing. But having to go on to school at IU, I do know this. There is an irrefutable fact. Basketball happens in the state of Indiana. That's where UCLA's famous win streak came to an end, in Notre Dame's gym. Long time ago, they're not correlated at all. But I'm just telling you, that is a good Pacer team that plays very well at home. And if there's a game where Harrison Barnes could have been really handy, it would have been that one. It's obviously a game the Warriors should win. There's nothing that should stop them right now, but eventually someone will. Didn't happen over the weekend. Toronto gave it its best shot, and for three quarters, the Nets were in the conversation. But boy, just watching the Golden State Warriors, everything they're doing right now. We have been basically compiling a list of basketball statistics, indicators. We're almost like numerologists, Gianna, people who look into your life number is 7.
Right.
Glenda, we're trying to study the number charts on this team. If you're looking for another indicator of how good this basketball team is, here you go. Do you realize that this team has now won its first 10 road games of this season? They're 10-0 on the road. Only three other teams, Gianna, have won their first 10 road games in a season, and all those three other teams have done was all go on to win the NBA title. That's it. That's all. That's all they've done. You start 10-0 on the road historically, you will be crowned NBA champion. It happened for the 60-61 Celtics, the 60-62 Celtics, the 69-70 Knicks, and now this Warriors team. So, I mean, it is just so unprecedented what they're doing. Has anyone ever started 11-0 on the road? I guess we'll have to see if they win that game for Elias to spit that out at us or not. It's unbelievable how good this team is. It's just unbelievable how captivated we have become. Saturday afternoon, there were, 70, 80, 90 people down at the tree lot. Everyone, people who were volunteering, people who were down there shopping for a tree, people who got dragged there by groups of friends and they didn't even know what they were walking into. Everyone, Gianna, stopped what they were doing to gather around the little area that we broadcast from. We had one of the TVs on the Warrior game, and it was playoff viewing atmosphere for a December basketball game in Toronto.
That's crazy.
In freaking Toronto. It wasn't Warriors Lakers. It wasn't Warriors Clippers. It wasn't Warriors team you give a rat's you know what about. It was Warriors freaking Toronto. And it was like the city had shut down for 3 minutes to watch this sucker end.
Well, it's because it's become a story that's not just sports anymore. You know, it's kind of carried over into just news, and people who don't love basketball like we do are interested.
Yeah. So the Warriors are now 12-0 on the road. Only three other teams have started 10-0. And they've all won titles. So it's just insane. Winning 12 games in a row in any fashion is impressive. On the road, 22-0. You want to go back to last season to extend the streak? Look, it doesn't. I'm just getting the inkling feeling that Indiana might end this tomorrow. If they don't, I'm not going to make any such predictions any again. I'm really not. If they don't end this tomorrow, I will make no more predictions anywhere else the rest of the year about this basketball team. 82-0 is apparently out there. It's just unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
I tell you, I don't know what is more unreasonable in my mind, that a basketball team could be this good, or I could show up drunk to work and demand $30 million, like Steve Sarkisian has done down at USC. We're going to talk about that today. A little social media for the kids can be a bad, bad recipe in college. Of course, the latest we have from the world of college is the outrage that a freshman feels if they happen to stumble upon an image of Holiday that they weren't expecting. Oh, boy. The PC principal on South Park is for real. We'll get into that just a little bit later. When we come on back, we're going to go into the mind of Derek Carr talking about Pick City. It was Turnover City in Oakland yesterday. That's next on The Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
From the text line, hey, D. Bruce, outside of Steph Curry, Paul George is playing some of the best ball in the NBA right now. That good texter, and a few other reasons are why I think the Warriors could be on the wrong side of history tomorrow. I really do think this is the first game. Look, I almost circled the Toronto game. I almost circled the Nets game. I didn't. I almost circled the Utah game. I didn't. We talked about it. I'm officially circling tomorrow night. I'm putting the Warriors on red alert. Tomorrow night feels like the night only because the Pacers are playing great. Eventually, reality has to catch up with this team, and some sort of physics of the known universe will catch up with the basketball team that we're all talking about. And this has been a tough trip. And the miles that they're putting on this on themselves and their own body odometers in this trip is ridiculous. How crazy is this? Thank you for nothing, NBA schedulers. The Warriors were just all the way on the East Coast as you can get, playing Brooklyn. Friday, they're going to be in Boston, but they have to fly back to the Midwest to play in Indianapolis. Then they go back to Boston. Then they come back to the Midwest to play Milwaukee. Like, it would have made so much more sense for them to go Brooklyn, Boston, Indiana, Milwaukee. No, I got to go Brooklyn, Indiana, all the way back to Boston, all the way back to Milwaukee. Danny was telling me that the Warriors are going to put like 10,000 more miles on their team travel odometer than any other team in basketball is this year. So that's great. You figure it's got to be a far away, like your amount of miles traveled. Like the winner is always going to be either the Warriors or the Miami Heat or the Portland Trailblazers. Like you're coming from as far away as you can get. So I just think that the legs that almost caught up with them in Brooklyn a little bit, the legs that had run underneath them in Toronto a little bit, eventually like normal has to kick in here. The Warriors have done an amazing job holding back the normal. I think normal catches up tomorrow night. I do. I hope I'm wrong. 23-0 sounds a lot better than 22-1 to me. So let's do it. But tomorrow's the red alert game. And if they win tomorrow, clearly they're on their way to an undefeated season.
That's it.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. So we're going to have much more on the Warriors throughout the day. I want to get into the Raider game before Jack Del Rio joins us at the bottom of the hour. Obviously, this was a game that was dotted with a whole lot of good and a whole lot of bad. Nothing was worse than the turnovers that plagued Derek Carr in the second half. And obviously, when he was asked about them, he said the things that you kind of want to hear. He was not happy.
We turn the ball over, can't do that, especially against a good football team. You know, that's my fault, and we'll get it fixed. I get mad, obviously. I get pretty ticked off, but especially on how some of them happen, I get pretty upset. But sometimes those things are going to happen. Just sucks that it happened all back to back like that.
It does suck that it happened back to back because it just sucked the life out of the team. It sucked the momentum out of the game. The Coliseum just went oh. And Raider fans collectively felt that growing pain just kind of sit next to them, right on their laps, as a matter of fact. That's growing pain. It's tough to look around anything when you got a growing pain sitting on your lap. So, trying to understand the interceptions. Was the breakdown in Derek forcing the hand too much? Was the route run improperly? Was the defense outstanding? Was it decision-making? Was it physical execution? We'll try to ask Jack Del Rio about all of this when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. Charles Woodson was disappointed with the game yesterday. It's a shame that he didn't have a win to celebrate. This is a guy that's just around the ball constantly. Great players have a way of finding themselves around the ball constantly. He's got a scoop after the fumble early in the game, just always around the ball. Rips the ball out of Kelsey's hands, returns it deep into Chiefs territory, and that's when Carr hit Crabtree on that amazing dart with an incredible catch. How Crabtree held on to that ball, getting sandwiched in between two Kansas City Chiefs right on the goal line. That was reminiscent of the T.O. call, the moment where T.O. was born. T.O., 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 when he got clobbered by three Packers. Yeah, it was a playoff game, a little bit different, I understand. But it was reminiscent of that. How he held on to the ball, I do not know. Man time, contract time, obviously, for Michael Crabtree. The Chiefs don't turn the ball over. They do it twice in the first half. And you got to figure, this is playing. This is playing right into your hands. And then the ball was handed back to the Chiefs. Once, twice, thrice in the third, in the second half. And it was just kind of tough to play catch up from there. They were getting to Alex Smith early on. They were playing physical. The tackling became poorer in the second half. poor tackling has been the unwelcome house guest, really, in all the Raider defeats this year. And it stings based on the fact that the math would have all of a sudden started cooking in your favor a little bit. You know, the Steelers held on to win. They would have held you at arm's length from the final playoff spot there. But it would have been a nugget, a cookie for this team to chase. Real playoff possibility. That's going to be a very tough thing to come into focus realistically throughout the rest of the season now. So motivating to play for reputation, something to build on. Season changes a little bit here for Jack Del Rio, and we will talk to him about it when he joins us next. Let's go to Mark in Oakland. Mark, how are you? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I know that I understand that Derek Carr had a pretty tough quarter, but I think Bill Musgrave made some play calls that put him in a bad situation. Case in point, when we're down 20-26, with 4 minutes left, Musgrave calls a play to run Latavius Murray up the middle, and then it takes a 7-yard loss on a flare out to Latavius Murray again. And it's 3rd and 17. He's already thrown 2 interceptions. What is Musgrave doing out there in the second half?
Yeah.
Why is he aggressive?
We're going to talk to Coach Del Rio next, and we'll ask him about some of the play calling. And it's one of those things. Look, the swing pass, I don't like dancing that far behind the line of scrimmage. I really don't, especially for a running back that hasn't been great getting the ball as a receiver from the backfield so far this season. That was a bad call. The bubble stuff, the run call. Look, I don't mind that, but. Look, it like everything. If it pops, it works. You're a genius. If it doesn't work, people are calling, wanting you talk about you on sports talk radio on Monday. But I would like to see them. I would like to see them attack a little bit more downfield. And I'm sure some of the problems that the Raiders found themselves in was because they tacked a little too aggressively downfield. So now you're trying to find the right balance between a quarterback who wants it, not wanting to turn the ball over, and then you do something, you call something like a screen pass, it gets blown up 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, it all adds up together to go into a disappointing day of football. There were some. It's easy to just focus on what doesn't work. It's easy to focus on plays that take you backwards 7 yards. Bill Musgrave didn't throw any of those interceptions. I believe Bill Musgrave is a guy that deserves some fan criticism. Excuse me. Make sure, though, that you remember this. We're talking about one of the worst offenses of all time last year. They're a top 10 team in offensive efficiency right now. The leaps and bounds and improvements that this offense have made have to be put on the table as much as your legitimate complaints about the conservative nature of it at times. It's all fair. It's all in the game. The Raiders have been a wonderful combination of, gee, that really works, we want to see more of it, and boy, that doesn't work, we want to see less of it. It's a growing process. We're going to talk to the guy who makes all the decisions next. Jack Del Rio joins me on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. It's good to have you along. I got a couple guys here on the text line basically saying that, hey. Indiana's only 12-9. It's not exactly a world-beating team. They just lost to Chicago. You're way off on your prediction, Damon Bruce. Actually, I don't know. I mean, I'm not looking at records. I'm looking at matchups. And I'm also looking at wild gyms. And believe me, the Warriors are going to step in one. It might be one of the most expensive regular season tickets in Indiana Pacer history for this game coming up. I've already seen it compared to Jordan's return game to the NBA was at Market Square Arena. That's the most expensive ticket in Market Square Arena history.
Wow.
This could be right there. So We'll have more on that in just a little bit. Right now, Jack Del Rio is all set to join us. The Raider head coach is brought to us by the Ford store of San Leandro. More is always better. For more amazing deals on 600 vehicles, you can shop online at sanleandroford.com or take 880 to Marina Boulevard for San Leandro Ford. More better. Head coach Jack Del Rio here on 95.7 The Game. Appreciate your time this afternoon, coach. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Good afternoon.
Look, we've seen this team. We've seen you put the ball in Derek's hands at the end of games, and he's made game-winning plays on game-winning drives, and maybe that goes into his psyche when he tries a little too hard to be the guy to make the play down the field. Do you feel that that played into any of the turnovers that dotted yesterday's performance?
Well, I think what went into it was him, and I think he'd tell you this, trying to do too much. And, you know, he is our leader. He is a heck of a player. I love him. I believe in him. And it just didn't go, you know, the way we all wanted it to go yesterday. But he's got a real bright future. We're going to learn from that experience and go forward full speed ahead.
I don't mean this as a criticism of Alex Smith, who's a fine quarterback with a long professional career and a resume to be proud of for sure. But, you know, I've always felt like he's made mistakes in the past that prevent him from some of the success he might have in the future, where Derek is a guy who's got success and that might force him to make a play that is going to be just, you know, it's going to blow up in his face once or twice. Is it that kind of a deal that you have to make if you want a big arm down the field quarterback? You know, scared money doesn't play well at the gambling table. Same thing about quarterback play, I feel. I'd rather have a quarterback who's a little bit more aggressive than a little too conservative. How about you?
Well, I really enjoyed the thread the needle shot to end the first half.
That was awesome.
I mean, so, yeah. I mean, if you're playing scared, you don't throw that ball. So, you know, we want to learn and we want to, you know, be smart, but I don't ever want a guy back there just playing scared or timid. So, and Derek's not that. And I think, like I said, I think he'll learn from this experience. Nobody took it harder than he did, but I want to assure, I tried to assure him yesterday, and we will, you know, when we talk again. But hey, you know, we absolutely believe in you, and we'll learn from this and move on, and we'll do it together.
You know, forcing a play, eating a play, taking a sack, throwing a ball away. We file all of this under instincts. How do you as a coaching staff work with a player's instincts, which seem to be, you know, it's like, what's the old joke? Like, how can I affect your self-confidence? The key word is self. How can you affect a guy's instincts when really instincts are what you have in you without any outside influence?
Yeah, you create drills and you know, that's what the quarterback coach is for. That's what the offensive coordinator for, and they'll work on that, and I'll work on that. Todd Downey's done a great job, I think, with the quarterback group, and you know, that'll be something that I promise you that we'll be drilling.
The moment where it seemed to unravel yesterday was on the interception on the crossing pattern. Would you talk about where the interception occurred? Was the throw wrong? Was the top of the route wrong? What happened?
Actually, I'd probably find a different place where I thought it went bad. I thought when we were sitting with the ball on the 33-yard line, you know, driving with a 6-point lead and the ball, and you know, the idea is okay. Another tug would be great at minimum a field goal here, and take that clock down, you know, under 10 and up two scores. That's where we were heading, you know, prior to you know, the interception that went, you know, that went way back. So I believe that was the first of them. So, you know, the others, I mean, they all had their, I mean, to me, they had the one common denominator. Okay. And that was, you know, trying to do too much. And so, like I said, lessons to be learned, obviously a tough loss for us. We really wanted to be in second place in control of everything in front of us, and that's no longer the case. And, you know, we didn't earn that yesterday.
Raider head coach Jack Del Rio here on the Damon Bruce Show. And Charles Woodson was taking this one to heart. He said it was one of the harder losses he's been a part of. And I think it's for all the reasons that you just described. You know, I always felt like playoff talk this year was a full year ahead of schedule, but it was officially in the math and in the numbers as it looks less and less like a possibility. Do you have any concerns about motivation?
I don't. I do believe that that we all took it hard as we should, because what we wanted to do was reward the Raider Nation, who, by the way, yesterday rocked our stadium. It was an unbelievable environment to be playing and coaching in, and really awesome. So we're very appreciative of our fans and the support we get. But we wanted nothing more than to deliver, and it didn't happen. Okay, so one of the things that I've really, really, grown to appreciate and respect about this football team is this is a resilient bunch. We've stayed tight. We will continue to play hard. We know that we have the abilities in this locker room to become a really good football team, and we're working hard at that every day.
Coach, defensively, do you need more speed or do you need better tackling? I always thought the one thing you really can't measure at the combine is the most important thing about a defensive player. It's not how fast he is, how strong he is, how quick he can jump. Can the guy tackle, yes or no? What do you need more of, speed or tackling?
We'll take both. We'll take speed and tackling. Yeah, no, I think I think the defense has played better over the last several weeks. I think we kept ourselves in the game yesterday. I thought we did a good job forcing some three and outs. We get the two forced fumbles, and we were winning that turnover battle till late in the fourth quarter. So that's what you're looking to do. And so, yeah, but I think where you are doing well, you see the speed does show up. It is so important, and you have to tackle if you're going to be any good on defense.
Coach, how's Nate Allen today?
He's sore. He's sore. We got tests on his knee. It came back negative. He's sore from the shot he took. So he'll be day-to-day. We'll just monitor that soreness. But we got a good checkup in terms of, going in there and making sure there wasn't anything disrupted.
I feel like some missed tackles are dot some of the losses of this season. And it's easy to see an interception. The guy sitting in the last row in the stadium can see that clearly as something that didn't go your way. Outside of some missed tackles and the interceptions, was there anything that upset you in that game? Anything else? The blocking that you had up front, the blocking that you didn't have up front, the consistent pressure that you were getting on Alex in the first half sort of vanishing a little bit in the second half? Was that because of an adjustment that they made or a different defensive scheme that you put in?
No, not really. I thought the rush was pretty good all day. I thought, Khalil was really pretty strong.
Yeah.
Like three different times he was around the quarterback, got credit for two sacks. Haney came once on a blitz, did a nice job. Mario Edwards continues to show up. So, no, I thought the opening drive for both teams, both offenses went right down, and then after that we kind of settled into a defensive slugfest. But, I thought the effort was pretty solid.
Jack Del Rio here on 95.7 The Game. The play on the goal line, the Chiefs ran to Macklin, where they had that bunch group, and Alex just zips the ball right down to the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
I've seen that play, but I've never seen it run like on the 6-inch line of the goal line.
Right.
I thought it was a good play. How often do you see a play run or work against you where you just go like, ooh, that was kind of cool. I might file that away for myself one day.
Right. Yeah, no, that was well executed on their part. Every now and then that does happen. Every now and then we'll get somebody, and every now and then they'll get us. And that was one they got for sure yesterday.
It was a nice design. It really was. Do you poach? Do you poach a good design? Do you do a lot of play poaching when you see something that you like?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not ashamed to poach if it's a good idea. It's part of what game planning is in this league, and people will poach week to week, but I think you don't want to ever stray too far away from who you are, what you do, because you're going to have some fundamentals that you understand and believe in and all that, and that helps you execute a lot faster and play a lot more efficiently. But little nuggets like that, absolutely.
Well, it's the old Milton Berle line: smart borrows, genius steals. Something like
that's
that.
Right.
Jack Del Rio here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, how do you prepare for altitude? You spend an awful lot of time in Denver, obviously. It is a different animal up there in terms of just breathing. Can I suggest you bring in some of the heavier fans from the black hole to just have guys sit on your team's chest after a series of wind sprints this week or something?
Yeah, right. It won't. I don't think that'll do the trick. Really, it's pretty simple. It's a matter of hydration. You know, we took teams from Jacksonville up into Denver and won several times. So we'll travel in Saturday evening and spend as little time there as possible, knowing that the longer you're there, there's kind of that time when, you know, the longer you're there until you actually have a time, which about 2 weeks is what it takes to actually, you know, acclimate yourself. So you can't do it in a short trip. So the later you go in, the better, and that's what we'll do. We'll go in late, we'll be hydrated, and be ready to roll.
There's a lot of still unknown with Brock Osweiler. He's played so little. Do you have an advantage that another coach might not have had had you not spent the time around him when you were in Denver?
Well, I don't know. We didn't see that much of each other in practice. I know he's big. He's athletic. You know, he allows them to be under center more, and I think that's the biggest difference between you know, what he brings, and then obviously Peyton with all the experience and the wisdom. But you know, Brock is younger, more athletic, and a guy that'll be under center more often.
How different is their game plan besides him being under center? It seems like they're leaning on their running backs more with Brock too. You know, you prepared for Peyton once this year. How much differently will you prepare for Brock?
Very similar, just a little more of what Gary likes to do, you know, what he brought from Houston and then in Baltimore, you know, where the run action and the quarterback boots and things off that run action and how they complement each other.
Let's just wrap up with this. I like to end on a little bit of a positive note, and, you know, we've already had our Yams Richard time, so let's go back to Charles Woodson. Great players are just around the ball all the time. And this freaking guy is around the ball all the time. His scoop off the fumble was one thing. Just ripping the ball out of Kelsey's hands was another, though. I mean, that's just nasty, mean football right there. You've been around a lot of greats. We've basked in this guy in weeks past, but I just can't ask you enough about Charles Woodson.
Yeah, really, the lawnmower takeaway was the best. I mean, the other one, he went and scooped. He's always around the ball. He's just got a nose for the action. But the lawnmower, when he started the lawnmower and pulled that ball away and took off down the sideline, and you know, just another great moment. And really, I'm a little disappointed we didn't help him score, because, you know, the great ones are looking to score, and he was looking to score there, and we just didn't do enough blocking in front of him.
By the way, the NFL calls these plays these days. Any play goes for more than 20 yards is a flag somewhere, so maybe it's a blessing. I don't know. But obviously, yes, you'd like the full convoy for six. Coach, thanks very much. Good to talk to you again. Hopefully we got a win in Denver to talk about and a strong close to this season. But, look, I always felt this was going to be a year that was earmarked with moments of real growth and moments of growing pain. And I think that that's what that Chiefs. We got to file this Chiefs games under growing pain and better days coming in the future.
Well, sounds good to me. I appreciate it. Good talking to you, David.
Thank you very much. Jack Del Rio here on 95.7 The Game. This isn't the year, Raiders fans. Next year is the year you sip from the playoff cup. I like the 2017 Raiders. Your reaction to Jack Del Rio? What did you hear from the coach there? What did you like? Are you inspired that this gets better? Are you convinced he's the right guy for the job? Do you like the trajectory of this team, even though you just caught a loss at home? And to be honest with you, next week looks even harder than this week looked. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Raider Nation, what'd you think of your coach? It's next here on 95.7 The Game.
The Demon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game.
I never want to be the guy to tell you that a coach's record doesn't matter, because it absolutely does. A coach's record describes the coach better than anything else, but you also have to understand the situation. When I get a text like this, I'm thinking that I'm getting a text from someone who doesn't understand context. The context on the text line is quite often lost, I think. Jack Del Rio's a sub-500 record, and it speaks for itself. The guy is an average head coach. You know, if that's your opinion, I'm going to tell you you're entitled to your own opinion. I'm not going to argue with the thoughts that you have dancing in your own head. But I don't think you're accounting for that this guy was the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had a didn't know what he was doing at all Blaine Gabbert to build on at the time. Blaine's getting a little bit better, and we'll get into that when we get more into the Niners next hour. But Jack Del Rio was the head coach of the lost in the woods, can't draw flies, blacked out locally Jaguars, and is now taking over a team with a second-year quarterback, the first group of real young talented players to come through in a while. The best player on his defense is 322 years old and is still making plays everywhere. Charles Woodson, start the lawnmower. And, the Oakland Raiders were as lost, if not more lost, than the Jacksonville Jaguars since Del Rio got here. This team was 3-13 last year. You went into week 13 this year in a playoff conversation. That's not improvement. That's not marked improvement. You went from out of the conversation before anyone even started talking to now in the conversation, even though it was a long shot, through week 13. That's getting better. And if I have to explain that to you again, you lack a context to your opinion. From Caesar. D. Bruce, what's up with Jed York tweeting now? Oh, we'll get into that, too, I can promise you. We're going to do is something where I'm not even going to make fun of Jed York. I'm just going to read responses to Jed York's tweets, and it'll be the most savage thing you've ever heard in your life.
I just don't, yeah. Oh, God. I look forward to it.
You know what's the less is more?
Yeah.
Less is more. Let's go to Michael in Oakland. How are you, Michael? You're on 95.7 The Game. Thanks for the call.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. So, you know, I heard what you said, you know, coming out of the break about Del Rio, you know, and, you know, my heart goes out for the guy. But I think, you know, he said himself the place was rocking. So why couldn't you get your troops ready? But the other coaching staff did, right? And why are you in a hurry-up offense with 6 points ahead of the team? And you can't establish the run. You won't establish the run. Where's Marcel Reese? Why is DJ Hayden still on the field? I could go on and on.
Well, DJ Hayden's really not on the field. And I would like to see Reese get the ball a little bit more. There's no doubt that guy is an untapped resource for this team. That was one of Latavius's better games against a rush defense that doesn't give up a lot of yards throughout the entire season. So it really wasn't even on him. I'm telling you, 3 turnovers killed that afternoon. 3 turnovers murdered your opinion of the Raiders yesterday, and rightfully so. Manuel, or Manuel, or let's find out. What's your name in Dublin? How are you, Manuel?
Hey, how you doing, man? Always enjoy the show. Hey, you know, Vegas had us winning 5 this year. I think the over-under was 5 or 6. I like Del Rio. We're okay. I want to see what Kenny Norton Jr. does with some talent in that secondary, with Rod Woodson back there helping and inputting. But I'm okay with the move. But we got to steal one of these games, either that Denver game or that Packer game, to finish on a high note, in my opinion. I think that's the direction that we're headed. We were in the conversation when last year we had 3 wins. So any Raider fan that knows the Raiders should really be on the same page with this.
No, this is getting better. It might not be getting better at the speed of light, but that's tough to do. It usually takes a season or two to go from we have no idea what we're doing to we're figuring it out to now we know exactly what we're doing week in, week out. Real fast to Nick in Fairfield as we wrap up the first of 4 hours today. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, David? How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Hey, you know, man, I think it's funny. You know, we got these diehard Raiders fans who are complaining about what Jack Del Rio's doing. When you said it yourself, man, we were 3-13 last season. We're 5-7 already. I mean, we're making huge, huge improvements. I mean, for anybody to think that coming off of what our season was like last year, that we were going to go to the playoffs this season, I mean, that's crazy talk. To be as far as we are right now and have the talent that we have on the team and know that next season is going to be even better than this, man, I mean, there's so much potential with this team, man, and I can't see anybody not being happy with where we're at right now and what we have coming in the future, man.
Right.
It's crazy to hear people saying that.
Hey, you're sitting at 5-7 after back-to-back 12-13 win seasons. Okay, I'm accepting all complaints. Here's the argument that I'm going to make to anyone who complains about Jack Del Rio. You know how I'm going to win the argument? I'm going to do it in two words, Nick, and you can use this at work, too. I'm just going to say this. Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen, man. Exactly. There you go.
That's
there
it. You go. Thank you very much. I will leave you on this note, Raider fans. Whatever Jack Del Rio is or isn't, comma, Dennis Allen. Your wife comes home. You and your wife both return from a long day of work. The dog walker brings in the damn dog. The nursery school drops off the damn kid. You're looking at each other. And you turn to your wife and say, honey, I know we both had long days. Should we slave in this kitchen? She's going to look at you and she's going to go, Dennis Allen. Which is Raider speak for no frickin' way. Let's get a little delivery. I'm feeling Chinese. 888-957-9570. Dennis Allen. Remember that. Could be a lot of things, but you're no longer Dennis Allen.
Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.